Financial markets with a stiff upper lip. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccia, coming to you from the studios of the BBC in London this week. The key stock index in South Korea is down 1.3% in the two trading days since news of the underground test of a nuclear warhead across the border on Sunday. U.S. markets open for the first time just now, and the Dow is down 87 points, 0.4%. The S&P and the NASDAQ are each down about 0.3%. The FTSE index here in London is down 0.1%. It's like a misty day, certainly not a downpour for markets. Joining me here in London to help us evoke the generally sanguine zeitgeist is our friend Justin Urquhart-Stewart of Seven Investment Management. Good to actually see you, sir.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
You know, I'm fine with markets not moving much in either direction, but what's it going to take here? I mean, tensions in the Koreas are rising, flood cleanup, plenty to worry about.
It is astonishing, isn't it? There we go, from the potential for thermonuclear war, an unusual behavior by your president, and of course, Britain managing to upset most of Europe with Brexit, and that with maybe a German election as well, with a few changes. Nothing seems to move this. What sort of lever do I have to get this rock finally to change? And the answer is it will change, but none of us are certain actually what's going to happen.
I suppose the underlying world economy isn't bad at this juncture.
Oh, we've seen I don't think it is coordinated. It happens to be coincidence that actually we've seen a recovery, very considerable actually, since the decade ago of the banking crash. So actually the global economy is in good shape. But there are some serious issues here, and actually we're starting to see some elements of moving towards a certain slowdown, so therefore it'll take time, but the markets have just gone way ahead of all of this. So at some stage, that volatility will come back, so we're certainly taking a much more defensive position, and I think a lot of people are. You're seeing whether it's in terms of more cash or cash-like investments, and of course the old friend gold coming back again.
Maybe it's just the tail end of summer. People are still half on vacation.
Well, of course, in this country, we do have that phrase of sell in May and go away and don't come back until St. Ledger Day.
Which is when in Britain, St. Ledger Day?
St. Ledger Day is the 16th of September. It's not that we're terribly excited about the religious nature of it. It's actually a horse race in Doncaster. And it just coincides with the old summer social scene in London. So if one had to go to Ascot and Lords and Henley and maybe go shooting in August, then, of course, you wouldn't have time to be in the markets. But the idea being the volumes would be down and therefore the markets would be down. Actually, it doesn't really matter too much. Volumes are down a bit, but that doesn't still reflect really what's happening.
Well, we hardworking Americans say sell in May and don't come back until just after Labor Day, which is actually today. Justin Urquhart-Stewart at Seven Investment Management here at the BBC in London. Cheers, mate.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Amid the flood recovery and new hurricane coverage, what are vulnerable areas around the world doing to cope with what has become an increasing chance of high water, like here in what used to be very flood-prone London? My newest Marketplace colleague, BBC anchor and reporter Anu Anand, reports.
I've come to the River Thames, and I'm looking out over the Thames Barrier. Now, it looks like a series of mini steel Sydney opera houses. They can be raised like shields to stop the water flow if there's a risk of floods. Just beyond, I can see the Financial District of London with all of its glass and steel buildings. Emma Howard-Boyd is chair of the UK's Environment Agency, which operates the barrier. Emma, what is this barrier protecting?
It's protecting 1.25 million people who live and work in London, roughly £2 billion worth of assets, 500,000 properties, a huge amount.
Now, if this wasn't here, Shakespeare's Globe, the Houses of Parliament, most of London's best-known landmarks would already be underwater?
With the sort of significant events that we're seeing, it would be a very different city under flood.
Globally, storms and floods account for almost three-quarters of weather-related disasters, and they're becoming more common. Here's climate physicist Tim Palmer at Oxford University.
The one thing that governments around the world are going to be really having to face in the next few years is what level of infrastructure do they need to invest in to make their societies resilient to the changing extremes of weather.
But there's a problem. While weather damage in Asia is underinsured, just 8% of the $50 billion in flood losses were covered in 2014, in the US, it's a different problem.
One of the challenges we're currently facing is with government providing support after the event. There's very little incentive to actually reduce risk and prepare.
That's Ivo Menzinger of insurance company Swiss Re.
At some point in time, you just can't build higher dams and protection. So you need to also develop a plan of what do you do? How do you make yourself financially more resilient for the residual risk, that is when flood protection fails?
London has already spent more than $2.1 billion in today's money to build and operate the Thames barrier, and the British government is investing another $3.2 billion across the country on flood defences. That's a lot of money, but Emma Boyd of the UK's Environment Agency has advice for other cities tempted to skimp or delay.
I think one of the things that is going to be absolutely key wherever you are in the world, whichever city you're living in, is that you have to keep your planning ahead of the changing climate.
In London, I'm Anu Anand for Marketplace.
And a prominent public relations firm based here has now been banned for stoking racial tensions in South Africa. Britain's Public Relations Trade Association has ordered the PR firm Bell Pottinger not to practice for 5 years after the firm authored a campaign to paint the opponents of a powerful South African family and South Africa's President Jacob Zuma as, quote, white monopoly capitalists. The trade group is quoted saying it is the most unethical PR campaign it's ever seen. Bell Pottinger's CEO is now quit. From London this week, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.